across the 40, coming near side, 35, needs a block, gets outside, at the 20, he's going to the house, 10, 5, touchdown Kentucky!
From the UK Sports Network, this is Big Blue Nation Radio.
The second for one, make the turn, got him, game's over, Kentucky wins!
Interact with the show by calling 859-280-CATS. That's 859-280-2287 or statewide at 800-606-GAME. That's 800-606-4263.
Touchdown, Kentucky! Victory, Kentucky!
Or tweet the show at UK Sports Network.
And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
Now your host, Taryn Hendrick.
We welcome you into another edition of Clark's Pump and Shop BBN Radio here on the UK Sports Network. The Wildcats got a nice win over Alabama over the weekend. They'll get ready for LSU Wednesday night. And to talk about it, we've got Jack Givens in the house with us. So stick around over the next half hour. We'll take your calls. We'll also get questions off the Twitter machine as we chat all things Kentucky men's basketball with Jack Givens after that nice win over Alabama this past weekend. Stick around. It's Clark's Pump and Shop BBN Radio here on the UK Sports Network. Welcome back to Clark's Pump and Shop BBN Radio here on the UK Sports Network. Taryn Hendrick joined by the Goose, Jack Givens, and we invite you to be a part of the show. You can call us 1-800-606-4263. Or in Lexington, 859-280-2287. And what a win for the Wildcats. And not just the fact that you beat a tough Alabama team at home, Jack, but the way they had to do it without their two primary guards.
Yeah, a lot of questions were answered in that game. Sure. And these questions were kind of difficult questions when you think about it, because you lose your starting backcourt. I mean, that's tough on this team when one of those guys are out, but you think about it, losing two. So the big question is, what happens now that particularly Wheeler is out running and he's not running the offense? What's going to happen? We've seen times when they get into their offense when he's out and it's stagnant. It doesn't move. And, you know, so the question is, how does that offense flow without him?
Right.
And I think back to the early part of that game, even though Alabama was making shots, and Cal was right, he knew coming in they were going to make everything. But Kentucky was still running their stuff, and they were still getting some results. And, you know, they kept it close enough
right.
that Alabama making all those shots didn't go about 20, 25, and now you really got work. So that question was answered. I thought Davion Mintz was – man, he was excellent in this game, running the offense.
And defensively.
He's always good defensively
right.
because he outworks most people he plays against. But when you think about what he did running the offense, and let alone no turnovers, but making sure he got the ball to the people where they wanted it. Man, that's a huge question, because if Wheeler goes out, and it's experience for him. So now he knows he can do it again. And really, and remember now, he didn't have a full diet of point guard going into that
right.
game. I mean, he didn't have much of it. So a lot of really interesting questions were answered, and answered favorably. Sometimes you win a game and you think, man, I'm glad we got through this one. This was a feel-good win
yeah.
for this Wildcat team.
You win a game, and sometimes, like you said, you feel good about it. And then there's other ones, like Saturday also, where it's like, how did we do that? Because Alabama hit 14 threes. That's usually not a recipe for success. But Kellen Grady, too. I mean, we have to mention him, because you know defenses are going to key on him. So sometimes he just brought the ball down himself. It was already in his hand, and he did what he needed to do.
And that was a good call, because, you know, Alabama has a couple of guys who defend very, very well. One is defends positions very well. And one of those positions, it's a point guard. So in order to keep Davion from having to fight that pressure the entire game, Kellen did a great job of bringing the ball up the floor. Now, interesting how they got into their offense, because Mintz was the one who usually started the offense.
Right.
But it was a really interesting move to have Grady bring the ball up the floor, to help relieve some of that four-court pressure.
Yeah, and with the way Alabama plays basketball, we've kind of seen a shift towards that way across basketball. It's shoot threes, drive for layups, but you just have to hope that when Alabama comes out hot like this, you weather the storm like Kentucky did, you stay close, because those threes are going to stop falling eventually, and you got to be ready to pounce when they do go cold.
Yeah, you hope they're going to stop.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hope.
You don't see them shoot that percentage for the entire game.
Right.
And when you look at percentages, Alabama's not percentage-wise, is not a very good three-point shooting team, but they just look like a total
volume.
Yes, but they just look like a totally different team from the way they shot at 3 for 30 down there and the way they started this game. Offense is a strange thing, and they had it going early.
Well, and it's interesting to watch these new offenses, because you think, well, they're going to come in here and shoot 33s. They really don't want to do that. They want to shoot just enough to open the lanes where they can start driving it at you, right?
And Kentucky understood that.
Yeah.
And that's the way they played them. They finally got caught up, made that run at the end of the first half, and I heard Coach Kyle talking about it coming in, about how Sevier and Ty-Ty, how they were so animated on the bench during the game. Well, I sat right in the row behind them, in the front row of that section. And, man, they were up and involved in the game in ways that you don't normally see guys on the bench. I think they had you don't want to miss games, especially when you are a starter.
Sure.
It really hurts when you have to miss. Mm-hmm. And they knew they couldn't get out there and play, but they had to – kind of do what they could, and what they could was encourage the guys who were out there on the floor. And it was fun watching them react and get into the game. And boy, for Toppin, they were so excited about what Toppin brought, taking advantage of that start. Man, it was just fun watching them work.
Well, and that was going to be my next point too, is everybody after the game wanted to talk about Kellen Grady, and deservedly so, with what he did in Mintz, but the Cats needed Keon Brooks and Jacob Toppin to play well in this game, and they got it from both of them. Brooks made some big buckets, especially in the first half.
Yeah, and Brooks is capable of doing that. I wish he would realize that from game to game that he has the ability to take over. He's that good, and there's no reason for him not to take over games. But the improvement that Toppin has made, and there was a time he wouldn't even think about taking a 15 to 18 foot jump shot, and certainly not behind the 3-point line. Come on, this is Jake Toppin.
Right.
And now he anxiously he waits this opportunity, but he anxiously attempts that shot when it comes. I mean, he understands who he is and what he does, and he's patient. But man, when that opportunity comes, it's fun to see the improvement in his game.
Absolutely. He's the Goose, Jack Givens. I'm Darren Hedrick. We'll take a timeout. This is Clark's Pump and Shop BBN Radio on the UK Sports Network. Welcome back to Clark's Pump and Shop BBN Radio here on the UK Sports Network. Darren Hedrick joined by Jack Givens. If you'd like to talk to Jack or ask a question, you can call us at 1-800-606-4263. In Lexington, 859-280-2287. And during the game, it was alumni weekend, so a lot of former players in town. I imagine that had to be fun to catch up with some teammates and also some other guys from the program from all over the years.
Yeah, it was good to see a lot of the guys who, frankly, we don't get to see very often around here. And it just so happened that it fell on All-Star weekend, so a lot of the guys in the league were out for a few days, so they had an opportunity, which they usually do, go back home or go back to their school and spend time with friends who they don't get to see during the course of the year. So it was fun having guys back in town.
I saw Emmanuel Quickley, who was there. Sure. He was honored on the floor. And you just start thinking about the team he was with, and if it hadn't been for COVID, what that team could have accomplished in a postseason tournament, because they were hitting their strides. Also a neat moment, too, I've got to mention, because the Kyra Elzey show is coming up after this at 7:30, a pretty neat moment with you and Dan Issel and Ryan Howard, who has scored over over 2,000 points with Kentucky women's basketball. A picture with the three of you, and that's a lot of points among the three of you.
A lot of points, and Ryan is what a sweet young lady she is, and a really, really good basketball player. On top of that, she'll come, I don't want to say every day I'm at practice, but most every day I'm at practice watching the men. She comes in after they finish working out, and she spends time watching the guys work out as well. And, you know, she just has an interest and a love of the game that it's good to see. I don't know. It's going to be tough when she leaves. I think senior night's coming up, and
yes.
Kentucky's going to have to do a lot of work to replace her. But I'm interested to see how well she does on the next level. She's a really, really good player.
Let's go to our Clark's Pump and Shop phone line. Al, right here in Lexington, joins us. Al, how's it going tonight?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Jack, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Alan. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Back in 2015, Coach Calipari had a team built to go 40-0, and a lot of sports writers coined it a team that you could put any five of those guys in, and you probably could win by 20 points. And someone called it the platoon system.
Right.
And Coach Cal is really close to having the same type of team with this unit here. You talked glowingly about Toppin. I think that you could have Brooks in the game. You could have a couple guards that could come in and spark the team. Willa and Ty Ty, and of course, Mintz played an outstanding game on Saturday. But this team, Jack, when they go athletic, they can beat you. When they want to go small ball with three guards, they can beat you. And I think that when seed and Sunday come, Kentucky is going to be a number one and number two seed. They're going to be a difficult out moving into the rounds of the tournament.
Yes, I agree with you on every point. And, you know, it's interesting. They have had to win a game every way you mentioned. I mean, you know, a lot of times teams just outscore you and they beat you that way. But this team has had to win some games in the 50s and 60s. Like with this Alabama game, they had to score big numbers in order to win that one because Alabama offensively did a lot of good things. And, you know, they have had to adjust their lineup in a lot of different ways. I mean, think about it, this last game, They started Toppin, they start Brooks, and both of those guys. And that was another big question. How do they play together?
Right.
And they played great together. So they're still figuring things out, but it's one of those things where you kind of have to learn on the fly, man. You know, you find things out. And Coach Cal and his staff have done a good job making different adjustments in order to make sure that they have a team on the floor that's effective in getting things done.
Al, thanks so much for
thanks,
the call.
Thanks, Al. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, you talk about the versatility of this team, and that's one thing that can win tournaments. But I also look at teams like Kentucky and Tennessee and Auburn all have really good backcourts, Jack. And that's something you've got to have when you get into March, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's when the guards are really magnified. Their play is magnified. I mean, it's nice to have young guards, but when you have those experienced guards, I mean, you're talking about, I know Ty Ty's a freshman, but he's
not playing like
he's that. Not a freshman, yeah. Okay? I mean, the way he plays, man,
right.
he sees the game and plays the game with a whole lot more smarts and maturity than some of the point guards, some of the young guards we've seen in this program. But you come off the bench with Mintz and of course, Wheeler's had experience. I mean, it's nice to have, and especially at that point guard spot, it's nice to have a little bit of experience there and guys who have seen it all. I mean, Mintz comes off. He's seen it.
Right.
It's just great to have that. You also have to have an anchor. You have to have a guy down in the paint.
Got that.
Who can hold his own. And when need be, dominate another team. And, of course, Oscar has proven he can do that. I still think with this team, because they are really, really good, when Keon Brooks is active and when he is telling everybody in the building, anybody watching it on TV, he's saying to them, I am the man. And in order to beat Kentucky, you have to beat me. And when he's that kind of involved, that's a very, very good team.
I agree with that. Let's go ahead and get our final commercial break, our final timeout. You're listening to Clark's Pump and Shop BBN Radio here on the UK Sports Network. Welcome back to Clark's Pump and Shop BBN Radio, a final segment for this week as we chat with Jack Gibbons. He'll be with Dave Baker on the Don Franklin Auto Countdown to Tip-Off Wednesday night as Kentucky hosts LSU. That's a 9 p.m. tip. Coverage on the UK Sports Network begins at 7:30 with Jack and Buzz Baker. So a late game coming up on Wednesday night, but a tougher matchup against LSU is what everybody's focused on.
Yeah, LSU is a very, very good team. They handled Kentucky down there, although we had to play through some injuries. I think we have learned from the games we've had to do that. So I think Kentucky will be better able to manage that game next. But the key is Kentucky knows, or they should know, that every one of these games are huge. I don't want to say big. They're bigger than big.
Right.
And they have approached the games that way. And I'd look for them to be ready to play LSU when they come in here Wednesday night.
We did get a question off of Twitter, and Kentucky Dude wants to know if when this team gets fully healthy, Coach Calipari mentioned that the team has only played 12 games strength all year. Mm-hmm. Fresh legs in March would be huge, but are there any teams that you would like to, whether it's a matchup or just a style, avoid till the Elite Eight or the Final Four? Obviously, you don't want to play Kansas in the first round. Let's just get that one out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of teams you would rather not play first, and you try to avoid. I mean, I think Duke's a good team. I was watching them play Florida State, and although Florida State, I mean, we had two guys out.
Right.
Florida State had all five starters out to injury or illness. So there are some teams, but I've always said in order to get the big trophy, you have to play everybody, ultimately,
right,
all the better teams you're going to run into. But, yeah, there are a few that I would try to avoid. But, hey, this time of year, bring them on.
I guess maybe the better question would be, what kind of styles do teams least like to see when they face an opponent in the NCAA tournament, whether it's a pressing team or a team that shoots a lot of threes? What's that kind of style where you're like, this is going to be tough?
Well, I always hated to see a team that was able to control the tempo. I'm talking about walking the ball up the floor, because nobody really wants to run with Kentucky and give them an opportunity to take advantage of some of the assets they have. But a team that walks the ball up the floor, and it's usually veteran teams that have a couple of guards who are upperclassmen, a forward who's an upperclassman, might have a younger guy who can flat shoot the basketball somewhere. But I don't want a team that's going to be able to change the style that I am best at.
Similar to a Virginia when they're at their best.
Exactly. When they had teams that loved to keep the score down in the 50s and low 60s, and they ran their stuff, they would work that shot clock, and they'd get a shot with 2-3 seconds on the clock. Those are the kind of teams that I least like to play, because they change me from the style that I want to play the most.
Well, Jack, as we wrap up another edition of Clark's Pump and Shop BBN Radio, LSU is the team in front of Kentucky now. If they don't have Wheeler in Washington, which they're day-to-day according to Coach Calipari, what's going to be a key for Kentucky against LSU in their style?
Turnovers. If Kentucky can do what they did in the turnover column and limit that number to below 10, they're going to be all right, because you don't want to give LSU extra possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And always with this team, rebounding the basketball. I mean, when we beat teams on the board, I'm talking about on the rebound board, we beat them on the scoreboard. So we have to protect the basketball. And I think if we can rebound and get some fast breaks, some early opportunities, we're going to be all right.
Jack, it's always a pleasure, my
Thanks,
friend.
Thanks, Darren.
Have a good
anytime, man.
Have a good chat on the pregame with Buzz on Wednesday night. It'll be a late one.
Buzz keeps me in line, that's for sure.
All right, he's Jack Gibbons. I'm Darren Hedrick. Stay tuned. The Kyra Elzey Show is coming your way next here on the UK Sports Network.
You've been listening to Big Blue Nation Radio on the UK Sports Network. Big Blue Nation Radio is a presentation of the UK Sports Network, powered by JMI Sports.